Aye.
Thank you. We're going to do the minutes. Motion for the consent calendar for the minutes. We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you. Okay, first item on the agenda is Warwick Cove Dredge Project. It's item number 1, 2026-070. However, before we get into this, there's just a couple of announcements that I want to make. One of them is on 2026-072, stenographer services from the Legislative Department. In addition to 11 other items, I think it is 11, in this bid package, this item is also showing a contract renewal on July 1st, 2025. And everyone knows how that's an issue with me and has been for a long time. So these items that we have this evening, at least the majority of them, I believe, is the same as what has occurred with this. Initially, we, the Legislative Department, has never come before the City Council for this item. This is for our stenographer. Our budget has always been $1,800. It's under $2,500, so it's never come to us. We increased it this year to $3,600 because we've had a fair amount of public hearings far beyond what we've ever had. We could not approve that here until it passed the budget. And that's what we have with the majority of these items that are late in coming to us for approval. Tonight is, I believe, the majority of them, if not all of them, are budget-related or MPAs. However, going forward, there's no more reasons for coming to us late. If it's late, it's late, and I will be making a motion to hold. The other thing is, there is times when there is items not included in our bid package. As an example, an item that says we received three bids and we made this decision to go with this bidder. But I don't have a copy of those three bids. We don't have them in our binders. I'm not going to keep going down the same road. If those items that we need to review these requests are not in the binder, I am going to make a motion to hold. So just so everybody's clear, we don't have to continue talking about this. So
can I interject on that? Just so we're clear, wherever the clerk's office receives goes sure. into the binder. So if I don't receive it, it doesn't make it into the binder. Okay.
Got it. Okay. I understand. And
just
that's fine.
Make sure that it's clear that we put in everything that we receive.
That's fine. Thank you for that, Madam Clerk. But for whatever reason, if we don't have the information in our binder, we're not going to discuss it. I'm not pointing the finger or putting blame on anyone. I'm just saying what's going to happen or not happen. All right. Warwick Cove Dredge Project. State your name for the record, please.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
Hello, Director.
Hi. As you know, the city had received $3 million to execute this project, which is the dredging of Warwick Cove. We'd like to engage the Nature Conservancy. We have, to my right, Megan DePreet, the Chief of Planning and Development from DEM. She's here to answer a question if you should have one, but they support and recommend that the city utilize the Nature Conservancy and then pack it. You have, you know, their scope of work, their anticipated schedule. We're going to have to probably kick the schedule back a little bit based on when we're getting this approved, but it's pretty straightforward. I have a lot of confidence in the TNC, and One of the things you may have noticed in their scope of work is they do hold the potential for a public hearing because there's going to be some replenishment. Where we execute the replenishment's important because, as they say, it'll keep the cost down. So I would imagine that that's a discussion we'll make sure that you're engaged with as we identify areas to replenish from this spot to widen the channel. I really don't have much else to say. It's pretty self-explanatory, everything that's in here. But if you had any questions, I'll try to answer them, or Megan.
If members of the committee, if you don't mind, I would like to hear from Mr. Preet on whatever she has to present to us before we start digging in.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Nice to see you, sir.
Good to see you as well. Thank you.
My name is Megan DePreet. I am the chief or the manager of the program at Rhode Island DEM that is referred to as the Office of Planning and Development. One of the opportunities we have here is that, frankly, there was money put into the budget, into the state budget last year to dredge a portion of Warwick Cove. And you know, we've got a lot of great relationships with the city of Warwick. We've done a number of programs together. So we had confidence at DEM that working closely with the city would be the best, most efficient way to advance the project. You know, we're from the government and we're here to help. So we could certainly run this through DEM. Everything takes a lot longer. And so with the confidence in the team here in the city, we suggested working directly, you know, as a pass-through program to the city so the city could administer the program. We certainly have worked. I've personally worked with the Nature Conservancy on a number of projects, including a similar project of dredge work in the Providence River. They're known for being very conservation-minded, looking at natural resiliency building opportunities every step of the way. And this project, I certainly would assume, would be the very same.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for that. And this is something that has certainly been on the to-do list for a very long time. I remember probably back in 2014-ish or so, there was a meeting with the Army Corps of Engineers about getting something done with that, and kind of things just got put back on the back burner and didn't happen. This dredging, and it was a little difficult for me to see in the schematic that we have, but as I'm coming from the south into Warwick Cove, I'm assuming that there's a fair amount of this dredging is scheduled to take place right at that sandbar coming off Oakland Beach.
That is the presumption, yes. It really gets very narrow in that section entering the cove just before the boat ramp. And some of that, if you look at aerial photographs, you can see that it moves a bit, which makes it harder to predict exactly where to travel. Even in my kayak, I got beached there a couple times.
Sure. I'm a boater, so I boated through there 20-some years and continue to do so. So it is. It's definitely a hazard, and this is certainly very welcome that it's going to be taking place. I did reach out to CRMC earlier today. I made a late call to your office and just got a voicemail, but I didn't know anything about this Nature Conservancy, and I see it in our documents that this company is held in high regard with DEM and with CRMC. These things, before I can vote on a $3 million project, I need to hear it myself. And the reports came back with a very good relationship with this company over the years. So I'm very comfortable with that. One thing I am concerned with, and it's not going to necessarily have an impact on this particular project, but for us as a city going down the road, is a lot of what has to be taken out of there now has come from across the way. And the silt and whatever just keeps coming in and coming in, and you can move it and take it and do whatever you want. But this is something that is probably going to require ongoing maintenance over the years. Every 5 years or so, I think initially was the plan. So I think from the city perspective, that's something that we're going to want to follow up on going forward, because we don't want to be spending $3 million now to see we have another problem in 5 or 6 years from now.
Yeah, for sure. But, and certainly some coordination with the Harbor Master will be important. And I know that's already on the radar. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming. Any questions from members of the committee for either Mr. Preet or from Director Kravitz? Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the council? Do we have any comments from members of the public?
Is it on? Oh, now it's on. Donna Travis, Ward 6.
Welcome back, Councilwoman.
Yes, well, Mr. President, members of the council, it's very nice to be here. I want to thank Mr. Preet for being here also. Thank you for that information. This is a long time coming. Ed knows I've been working with the Warwick Cove is a special place. We have 39 miles of coastline, and we should be protecting every inch of it, whether it's, you know, restoring the dunes somewhere, doing dredging, all of it should be done. And everybody should get involved in it to make sure that the 39 miles of coastline is preserved for the future. And I mean, my concern right now is, and I'm sure Mr. Preet knows, the jetty that we have, that last jetty we got off of Oakland Beach, the sand comes over that and it goes and it covers the boat ramp. I was told it was going to do that by a little old fisherman 25 years ago when we put the boat ramp in. The Army Corps of Engineers stood there at a public meeting and said that they would dredge it every 5 years. They'd never been out there. All this time, never came out. Now, I'm hoping that if you're dredging right there, maybe we could dredge along that jetty and at least save another 10 or 20 years and stop the sand from coming. It's going to come back. It's still going to come back. But if we're right there dredging now, and we can at least dredge near the jetty and get rid of some of that that's coming over, that'll give us a few years of not having to shovel, because the public works has to shovel all that sand off the boat ramp. And that's not safe for people who are putting the boats in either. You know, everybody was very proud all that time ago. That was the first handicapped boat ramp in the state of Rhode Island. And we want to keep it nice. It's used every day. So on the weekends, you can't believe how many people are down there. So I'm just here to say I support it. I've been yelling about dredging both Brushneck Cove and Warwick Cove. And I always supported anything along the coastline. So if we could work on that, I'll still be vocal while we're doing it. So I'm not going away. So hopefully we'll get it done and we'll get it done right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions or comments from members of the public? Director Kravitz, I do have just a couple of questions. On page 2 of 8 in the presentation, it says the grantee shall maintain financial management systems that include standard accounting practices, official internal controls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Who is going to be doing that?
Well, that'll be a collaboration between the TNC, who will be working with the contractors to develop the billing, and my staff, who will be processing those bills for payment. So it's going to be both kind of, I think, my department, Dean, with me is very good, and the TNC staff.
So there is currently a plan in place for dealing with this. Okay. And we have, in no event shall the total obligation of DEM for all payments to guarantee us under this agreement exceed the budget, the project budget. First question is, how certain is everybody that this $3 million isn't going to turn into a $4 million?
Yeah, that's the TNC's job, and they're good at that. They've done 20 projects in 10 years, I read, and they're going to vet that out. What's a big determining factor in that is where we make the deposits of the material that's dredged. So we don't have the answer right now, but we know that we cannot go back to them for anything more than $3 million, or else we'll be voiding this contract. So that's kind of front and center.
I'm asking because I kind of heard that same thing about other things.
Yeah, right? I hear you.
Okay. So I think that is all that I have on this. Yeah, I believe that's all I have. Any other questions from members of the committee? Okay. I need a motion, please. I'm sorry. No, we're all set for now. Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, Sal, I'm sorry. Did you have, oh, I didn't see the light. Now I see the light.
Well, as just as Councilman Travis said, if the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, said that they would maintain it every 5 years and they haven't done it, why aren't they held accountable? Okay. I don't know why we just have to keep spending money on projects that, you know, and like you said, $3 million, it's going to be $4 million, and we all know it. So why aren't the people that claim responsibility to maintain certain things, why aren't they held accountable? Why aren't we doing anything about it? And this is what aggravates me. That's all I got.
And that's good questions, too. Thank you. Item number two, Munis Support and Update Licensing, 2026-063, found on page 18.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award the Munis Software Maintenance Contract to Tyler Technologies in the amount of $281,174.74. This represents about an 8% increase over the previous year's expense. This is one of those that unfortunately fits into the category of coming to the City Council late. I do apologize about that, but for whatever reason, we requested the quotes for both the educational portion from Tyler as well as the software maintenance. The educational portion was presented, I believe, 4 weeks ago. They sent it in immediately, sent it to me immediately. This one was received on May 21st when I wrote this up, and that's how it comes to you late.
Mm-hmm. So going forward, or in current time, what policy do you have in place for ensuring that these bid requests are going to come to us timely?
We always try to get them to you well in advance, but the kind of the dichotomy of this is I have to chase after vendors more fervently than I already do to allow us to give them money. In all honesty, I just don't see that as making a lot of sense.
Wow.
We do request so that they can never claim that we never asked them for it. We ask for it in plenty of time, but there's one that won't reach the City Council that just blew me away, that our software license expires July 1st. On the portal, it's only a few hundred dollars, but on the portal it says invoice date August 1st. Why a company would designate 30 days after the money's due for when they're going to invoice it baffles me, unless they're a benevolent society. Other than that, I have no idea. We do ask for it. We try to get this here as quickly as possible. We certainly write them up the day we get the quote. And as I think I've mentioned before, we don't care for the alternative, and that's, you know, me coming before City Council and saying, I'm going to need about $300,000, trying to guess a higher enough number to cover it. Mm-hmm. That's the best we can do.
Yeah. Now, these vendors that have, for whatever reason, have not been providing you with the invoicing that you need. Are these all sole source providers?
I don't want to, I can certainly, comes to mind, several of them are. There's one that we get for our e-permitting online. That one is horrendously late on a regular basis. They are dictated by the state. Certainly, Tyler is a sole source. Mm-hmm. The majority of them, yes. And I don't want to make it sound like it's rampant. We have several that just tend not to be diligent about sending us the quotes, and others that are very good about it.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Members of the council? Sal? Sorry, Councilman DeLuise, you all set? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Do we have any questions or comments from members of the public?
I do want to put one thing on record, if I could, sir. As I've mentioned before, this is for our ERP system. We run on-premise. We run it on servers here. They are migrating, like everyone else, to a cloud solution, which is exceedingly expensive compared to this. Most recently, one of my staff, Chris, was at a conference and has opened up a dialogue with them. What we're trying to do is see if they won't gradually add in the money. So if it's, you know, a doubling, we take a third of the increase first year, a third the second, another third the second year, and another third the third. So we have a three-year buildup to what's going to be an extremely expensive migration. We haven't gotten any further than the opening discussions with the salespeople, but I did want to put it on the record that we are trying to negotiate something.
Okay, thank you. Good luck with that. Item number three, 2026-036A, medical supplies and medications, found on page 24.
Good evening. Assistant Chief Jason Umbenhauer from the Fire Department. Fire Department reviewed bid 2026-036, medical supplies and medications for EMS and police. Three vendors submitted bids. The Fire Department's recommending the bid be awarded to two vendors, Boundary Medical and Life Assist Incorporated. This is a requesting a one-year bid for an amount not to exceed $140,000.
Sir.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
My only question is on the form, the resolution form, it says medical supplies and medications for EMS and police. And then under the contract award, $140,000 fire only.
Yeah, you'll see the police later on. I believe their item, they have a smaller amount that they usually just go for medications and a smaller amount of gloves. I believe that item 16 right. would be the BE side of that.
Okay. He pointed out later on we have the police, but it's just the way it was worded. I caught it. That's all. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So to clarify, it should be medical supplies and medications for EMS, not police.
Well, the name of the bid is EMS and police because we get a pretty good discount because of the volume that the fire department uses in medical supplies and medications. So the police then jump onto that bid and use that amount for their own purposes. So the police will come to you for some medications that they use, like Narcan and gloves and personal protective equipment. They will get a better price off of our bid specifications because the vendors bid in our volume instead of their low volume.
So does that mean you're not sharing with them?
we share with them all we could.
Okay. Chief, I want to point out, too, in going through this, that you have reduced your budget from last year by about 20 grand, right?
Correct.
So I wanted to, I think you're being bashful about it, but I saw it, so I'll point it out. And I would assume it's as a result of what your expenses were for last year. They were less than what you anticipated, right?
The expenses in general, medical supplies have stabilized a little bit since mm-hmm. COVID. So we're a little bit more, we can be a little more conservative with our estimates. We're not so before because of the uncertainty. But they've stabilized for the most part over the year, so we can better guess what we're going to use within the year.
And as I said earlier, this is showing a late bid. I'm assuming that's because of budget issues as well, right?
Correct.
The other thing, and do whatever you got to do to not send us 75 pages of Band-Aids and Q-tips, and I'm being facetious, but all we need is 20 to 25 of your most commonly used stuff. We don't need 75 pages, and then I get yelled at because we're making you waste paper. No, we're not.
I understand, and I know we kind of go through this every year, but we talk to the vendors regularly on this issue. They promise us that our pricing would be much, much better if we itemize this way, because they take this to the manufacturers, mm-hmm. and then the manufacturers bid each item individually. So if we just go for a straight 20% off your list price, we're getting 20% off. They all go to a manufacturer, especially with something we buy large volumes of, like, say, gloves, protective, like mm-hmm. medical gloves, where we buy, you know, hundreds of thousands of cases of them a year, and they'll get a much better price than just the flat 20% off.
So you could still break out hundreds of thousands of cases of gloves and say, give me a bid on 100,000 cases of gloves, right? He usually does that to me.
That's on tape.
Yeah. So we try to do a set price like that. We'll try our best to try to see if we can categorize it and if that would be fruitful for the vendors. We don't have a lot of money to go around when it comes to medical supplies. So the more that we can get for the amount of money that we get budgeted, I think we're better off going that direction. It's only once a year that we do it, that we put this bid out. And they continue to promise us that if they can individually price everything and, mm-hmm. and go right to the vendor to get the best price that possibly they can for us, that's our best bet. And if it's 75 pages, it's saving us a lot of money in the long run on medical supplies.
Okay. Maybe at some point I'll ask you to get a bid with their 75 pages and your 5 pages. Let's see how those numbers come in.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions? Councilman Gebhardt.
I just wanted to clarify something that I think I heard you say. Was it that we would get better pricing if we did itemize or didn't itemize?
If we do itemize the way we do, the other option is to just get a flat discount on everything in the catalog, but they say the vendors that we buy high quantities of and spend lots of money with give us a much better discount because of the volume we're doing with them than the manufacturer just giving us a flat discount.
Got it.
So the way we're doing it is the better way.
By specifying our volume, we get the benefit of the volume purchase.
Correct.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Councilman Gebhardt, could you shut off your light? Thank you. Okay, moving on. Item number 4, engineering services. 2026-077, found on page 99.
Good evening, Chris Moretti, Public Works. Presenting on behalf of the Water Division to recommend engaging in services with Stantec Consulting Services for the Lincoln Avenue contract phase 2. So the purpose of this award would be for them to oversee the project, the contract 2 project. They've already overseen contract 1. This will require them to go to meetings. They'll have to review any documents. They'll review any invoices. They also prepared the bid specifications and reviewed those and made their recommendations as to who the award should go to. So this will engage them with their engineering services for the next portion of the Lincoln Avenue project.
Christy, why wasn't this included with the original contract award?
This project is going in stages. So we had stage one, and then once they are near completion of that portion of the project, we just awarded stage two at the last council meeting for the contractor to do the work. I don't know, they gave me the proposal, so I took care of the paperwork, but that second project should be commencing probably within the next month or so we certainly have time to get Stantec on board.
I mean, either way, the project has to get done. I was just curious as to why it's brought in, you know, under a separate item. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Christy. Hearing none, we're going to move on to item number 5, HVAC Services 2026-050. That's Lionel over here, found on page 104.
Public Works is again requesting to award HVAC services for city-owned buildings to Phalanx Engineering in the amount of $80,000 for a one-year period, beginning August 30th, 25, and expiring August 29th, 26.
Chrissy, how did you arrive at that number of 80,000? What was that based on?
So we recently came back to council and requested an increase on the current bid that we have of $30,000, which caps it out at $110,000. To date, we spent just over $82,000. So we're hoping to stay within the $80,000 spending for the next year, but some buildings, we don't have much luck with the heating and the AC, so. But we cover a multitude of buildings as well. Animal shelter, city hall, you know, it's the pool, all the city facilities that we're responsible to maintain.
You said the previous bid was like, your request was like 30-some thousand and you ended up at 82,000?
No, the original, on the current bid that we have right now that's not expired, we requested a cap of $80,000.
Okay.
We just recently came back to increase that cap $30,000 for a total of 110.
Okay. I knew I remembered something about that recently. I just could not put my finger on it. Thank you. Any questions from, yes, Councilman Muto.
Hi, Christy. So just a clarification. So what Councilman Lattercer was asking is, how did you come around the 80,000? If you just came back to us for an overage for another 30,000, how did you come about with the 80,000?
So this is for a new contract award. So this contract doesn't start until August 30th. Yes, August 30th of this year. So the contract that we have currently expires on August 29th. Mm-hmm. We ran out of spending authority. So we had to come back and ask for additional funds. So we came back and asked for the $30,000. We went back to the $80,000 cap because that is historically what we're comfortable asking for. And then, you know, 9 months from now, if we've, you know, are in the same position where we're coming close to expending the whole thing, we'll be back before the council again requesting an increase. But it doesn't make sense for us to come in and ask for $100,000 right out of the gate.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none. Thank you, Christy. Moving on to computer hardware and related equipment, 2026-061, found on page 110.
Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 for workstations, laptops, tablets, printers, copiers, and computer peripherals for fiscal year 2026 in the amount not to exceed $60,000. This was budgeted under the MIS hardware budget of 25,231. As just a reminder to tell folks that are new to the council, what we do is kind of a mini bid system. We take approved vendors from the state's MPA and from the Massachusetts Higher Education Council, where they've vetted a number of vendors. We take a set of those vendors, and each time we have to make a purchase of a group of PCs, because it's such a dynamic market that changes constantly, we go out to bid, take at least three bids, quotes, requests for pricing, whatever you want to call them, and we take the lowest at that point in time, taking into consideration both cost and availability. I did want to request an amendment on this. There was one vendor that I have shared with the City Council that was left off of the list accidentally, and I would like to add it to the approved vendor list. That is B&H Photo Video Incorporated, 420 9th Avenue, New York, New York, 10001. They are a vendor that we have purchased from before. They offer us an amazingly significant discount off of their list price. So we have found on several occasions that it really runs down between CDW and themselves as the best price for available equipment.
And could you just restate that vendor, please?
The name of the vendor is B&H Photo-Video Incorporated, 420 9th Avenue, New York, New York, 10001. They are currently our vendor number 60 for a vendor number.
Okay. Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR number, please? I'm sorry?
7725.
Thank you. Okay. Do you have any discussion on PCR 77-25? Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none,
thank
you. Motion on PCR 77-25.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Correct.
Motion to amend to add the vendor listed earlier.
B&H Photo-Video Incorporated.
Second.
We have motion to amend. We have a second. All in favor on the
aye.
Amendment? Aye. Please move favorable.
Move as favorable amended. Action as amended.
Second. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item 2020-001. Police and Fire Disability Administrator, found on page 113.
Stephen Rotondo, Human Resources Department. This is a 612 request to extend the Police and Fire Disability Administrator for 3 years. We've negotiated a fixed rate of $17,000 per year for each of the 3 years. That's fixed at the current rate, and that's less than a rate we were paying back in 2020. We were paying more. I contacted the vendor. I asked if they would extend it for a year. They said they would for $18,500 for the year. After some negotiation, we brought it to, if we can agree to a three-year extension, fixed at $17,000, the current rate for 3 years. I've also conferred with my colleagues in the police and fire departments. They deal with them routinely. And before I entered those negotiations, I discussed it with them, and they're very pleased with the services that are provided.
Mm-hmm. Director, the reason that this is late coming to us, is that because this was also a budget item? Or was there another reason?
I was negotiating. It would have been sooner, but I started at 1850. We talked, and he has a fellow I'm negotiating with has a corporate board too. He had offer counter, and I got it as soon as I could.
And does your department have a procedure in place to ensure that these contracts will be coming before us in a timely manner?
You know something, Councilman? No, I don't. But I'm listening to you last meeting and this meeting, and we don't have many, but we endeavor to be timely. You'll see me coming forward with another 612 request very soon for a contract that expires on the 30th, a big one with the health insurance.
Fair enough. So it's a 60-day window that we're looking for. I mean, obviously, and we're not going to complain if it's, you know, 58 days or something of that nature there, but certainly not a week or two before it. So we look forward to, you know, seeing that policy you're going to work on. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman, first of all, any questions?
No.
Okay. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd just like to request a PCR on this one so that I may recuse myself from the vote with the full council. Thank you.
78-25. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 78-25.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And that takes us to the end of our $50,000 items. I'm sorry, no, we have repair and rebuild hydraulic cylinders. Item number 8. Just bear with me. I put that PCR on the wrong item. And that is found on page 128. Sorry, Christy, go ahead.
Chris Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for repair and rebuild hydraulic cylinders to Tri-Power Sales and Service in the amount of $50,000 for a two-year period beginning August 26, 25 and expiring August 25, 27.
Mm-hmm. And Christy, this one is to us in a timely manner, but does your department have policy in place for ensuring that we'll be getting these contract requests and bid requests in a timely manner?
No.
Okay. You're going to be working on one, I assume?
Well, I'm the only one that does the bids, so I make sure that I do my best to make sure they're submitted in plenty of time.
Okay. Then we'll go from there, I guess. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Item number 9 through 26 is beyond the 50.
Number 2025-483.
I do have one that the police department has requested, and we'll get to that one in a minute. Anything else, Councilman? Councilman Muto, any items you want pulled out?
Nope.
Anyone on the committee, any members of the council have anything you would like pulled out? Any members of the public, is there any items that any members of the public would like to have pulled out? On behalf of the police department, I'm going to pull out bid number 2026-060. Correct.
Number 11.
That is item number 11, found on page 146. And item number 22, I'm going to pull out 2025-274, found on page 199. It's exterior building improvements at the Pilgrim Senior Center. Item number 24, 2025-506, found on page 212. And that's all I have. So, Councilman Foley, we'll go to the police detail. Major, we'll make the councilman wait. He's been very patient. Go ahead, Major.
Major Andy Sullivan for the police department, just requesting a PCR for, let's see here, bid 2026-060 to increase this the amount of the award from 29,650 to 30,000 even, increase of $350.
And the reason for that, Major?
The reason for that is a late realization that we need to get about five more user licenses for our civilian DTS portal due to we're going to be onboarding several people soon. We don't want to come back later.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Question. Councilman Ricks.
Pardon me. I meant to ask earlier for item 12 to also be pulled. No questions on this item. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on item number 11? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? This will now become PCR 79-25. Need a motion?
Motion to amend as noted by the speaker.
We have a motion to amend to increase this award from 29,650 to 30,000. We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any further discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Move as amended?
Move as amended with favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Item number 12, you're going to get pushed back again. Item number 12, 2026-075, probate court advertising, Councilman Ricks. Found on page 150.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Just had a question as to why both the Warwick Beacon and Kent County Daily Times are listed on this bid.
They've always been on the bid. You have to hit the entire section. And the Kent County Daily Times hits a little bit more people. And it's less expensive than the Journal.
Okay. So anything that's put in the Kent County Daily Times would also be circulated in the Beacon?
Correct. The ads that go in for probate are advertised the same week in the Kent County Daily Times and in the Warwick Beacon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That answers all my questions.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley, item number 19, found on page 191. You must be patient.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My question is procedurally. I've requested the two speed signs, where they are located. Is that based on a traffic study? I know I made recommendations.
So,
do you know?
Oh, so we will coordinate with the police department. You had indicated that you wanted them on Squantum Drive, correct?
Say that again.
You indicated that you wanted them on Squantum? Yes. So we'll coordinate the location with the police department.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I was...
Thank you. Next item, item 22, exterior building improvements, Pilgrim Senior Center, found on page 199. Christy, on one of these estimates, you have, well, somebody has, items included, men's room, cutout, re-cork, scrape and paint affected area to match existing. Why, what happened that generated an additional work order for this?
So this is exterior work, and as they were moving along in the exterior work that they're doing on the building, they're obviously, as they're like removing and replacing and fixing things, they've identified some areas that also need some attention that were not visible to the naked eye. Once they opened up, you know, took down the soffit or whatever they did, they said, oh, this needs to be fixed. But it wasn't part of the scope of work at that point. So we're asking to have it done before we don't want them to close it up and then the work is still unfinished.
And what was the work that they were contracted to do, the exterior work? What was it they were contracted to do?
I'm going to have Eric explain that. I don't know specifically.
Okay, sure. Mm-hmm.
Eric Earls, Public Works. So primarily we're working on the step flashing on the building and then repointing, resealing the masonry. That was the primary work they were doing. So the investigation that we had conducted regarding leaking in the building, which was a primary concern, identified the flashing as the biggest issue, and also the issue with the mortar joints and that kind of thing. While they were out there doing that work, they identified these other areas. And so while they're there, we figured address it rather than having to remobilize someone else and get that taken care of.
And these other areas that they identified, these are something different than flashing and mortar joints and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Some of the work is actually... they identified some issues inside the building, which wasn't part of the original scope, but obviously you wouldn't want to address that until you fixed what was happening outside the building. Like water intrusion had created issues inside the building. Now that they've eliminated that from the outside, some of that work to fix what's going on in the inside is going to be done as well.
So is some of this additional monies for the interior repairs as well?
Yes.
Okay. Does any of this, there's a couple other pages here, but does any of this, these change orders, does that have anything to do with the windows?
No.
Okay. In the community room, cut out, re-cork, scrape and paint affected areas. So cut out, to me, that is either removing mortar joints or it's removing glazing, it's removing daimonic sealants, etc. What are they cutting out that is an add-on?
Yeah, I believe it's whatever the ceiling is on the inside of the window, that the water had come in and kind of degraded that, so they kind of clean that up, take that out, re-caulk it. So yeah, I guess to some degree it's part of the windows, but not the structural window itself.
The windows have not been changed yet?
No.
Okay. And not all the windows are being changed either, if I recall, right? I think there's some...
We don't have a proposal to do the windows now.
No. Okay. In the... Never mind. That's the next one. Okay, that's all I have on that, Eric. Thank you for those clarifications. The next item is item number 24, 2025-506, Material Testing and Observation Services, found on page 212.
Major Sullivan for the Police Department.
Thank you, Major. So this is... it's about the new metal building that we're putting up over there, et cetera. So why weren't these items included as part of that scope of work?
So I think we didn't include it in the original bid, and we thought we could just add them as a vendor, but I guess because of the ARPA money, it was designated by December 31st of this past calendar year, so it couldn't be added at that point or at this point, so this is why we had to do it this way. And it's not something the original contractor can do because it's not independent per se to have them sub it out.
I'm confused with the numbers too. So in the next to the last paragraph, it says, we are requesting to increase the spending authority on this bid from $2,317.44 to $7,500, an increase of $5,182.56. However, the only bill that I find in here is in the amount of $2,317.44.
Where do you see the 7,000?
I'm sorry?
Did you say 7,000? I don't see that.
Yeah. It says, we are requesting to increase the spending authority on this bid from $2,317.44 to $7,500, an increase of $5,182.56 to complete this work. I don't understand.
So it's total spending authority because the $2,317.44 was already paid because it was below the $2,500 that went through purchasing. And then, so we need the additional, we anticipate additional testing services, which we know we're going to have additional testing services that are going to push it over well over $2,500.
So how do you know, how can you be sure that, because there is no other estimates in here. The only thing that I see is this invoice of $2,317.44. There's no other estimates. There's no other description of anything else that has to be done over there. How do you know that it's going to be $5,182.56?
So Deputy Lima had discussed with Cole what the anticipated additional testing would cost upon completion of the project. And that's where we came up with that figure.
So you do have a written estimate on those items?
I can't speak if it's written. I know that Deputy Lima had talked to Cole, and they were confident that would be within the spending authority.
Okay. So if you could send the background of how someone arrived at 5182.56 for me, I'm not going to hold this up, but I would like to see how that number came about.
Okay.
Based on what? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, that clears up the issue I had on the math problem. That's all I have. Anyone else have anything else with regard to the bid package? Okay. So on the bid package, I need a motion.
Favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a favor. A motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. We're going to move on to PCR 75-25, formerly 2023-154, work boots. And just to refresh everybody's memory, there was some questions about the numbers and how we arrived at those particular items. We have received some adjustments, and I don't know who's going to present. Is it Chief, are you going to present? And Director, if you could speak right into the mic, please. Thank you.
We sent you some information and revised our original estimate, really to bring this to closure, to pay for the current fiscal year increases in the cost of boots because of the change in the contract. And to refresh memories, the contract, the collective bargaining agreement, had a provision to pay $70 per year per employee for a pair of boots, and it there was about 109 or 102 people eligible. The new collective bargaining agreement changed the price from 70 to 150 is reimbursable for boots and added some more people. And so that resulted in us paying more this year than we had in the last 2 years. And then we took what we owe right now, added a cost for a few more boots because people do have until June 30th to pick them up to order. And that's what came up with this, the latest amount, which is $3,442.
Mm-hmm.